Welcome to the Ike Packers podcast.
Go Pack Go.
I can't wait, cause the NFL draft's less than a month away.
Go Pack Go.
Make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen. Please leave a 5-star review if you enjoyed the show. We're IKE_Packers on Twitter.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Packers podcast. It is officially April, which means the NFL draft is less than 1 month away. Green Bay has 5 picks in the top 100. We're talking best players for the pack and more around the league. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get into today's episode. Here we go. Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Packers podcast. My name is Alex Eichstead. I'm your host, and Packers fans, hope you had a great Easter weekend. If you celebrate, the NFL draft is less than 1 month away because we are in April now, which means, hey, that clock is ticking. Moves are going to be made. Smoke screens are going to be out. And the Packers have 10 picks again in those first in that draft, 5 in the first 100 picks of this draft. So it's going to be exciting. I want to encourage everyone who's listening to hit that subscribe button. We do a ton of pods and great content during the draft weekend. And we always have great updates for you here as well. So if you like today's show, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I'm joined by my co-host, KJ. KJ, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Packers fans, it is draft month. Like Alex said, it is April. We are now in the month of the NFL draft. The NFL likes to dominate every month of the calendar, every month of the year. And April is when basically a lot goes down. A lot of just like moves today that future Packers fans will be thankful for, right? So it's like years and years ago, 2020, that's when the Jordan Love pick was made. And, you know, going back to March, talking about these months the NFL likes to dominate, March is free agency. We still have free agency going on. We're going to touch on that. But this is draft month. It's really going to start heating up. Like Alex said, we drafted, interviewed a lot of top 100 draft prospects to coincide with the Packers' needs and the Packers' picks. A bunch of these guys have a really good shot at getting drafted by the Pack. Go scroll back a few episodes. Just search Ike Packers on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Just scroll back a few episodes if you haven't heard those yet. A lot of really interesting prospects. Ennis Rakestraw Jr., Christian Mahogany, the offensive lineman out of Boston College. He's supposed to go round 2-3, played 4 years for Jeff Hafley. You got Javion Cohen, the guy who played for Nick Saban at Alabama, won a championship there. He's an interior offensive lineman. You've got guys like DJ James, cornerback available, maybe second, third round prospect, a super fast guy. You know, Kamal Haddon out of Tennessee, underrated. Yeah, man. I mean, this is going to be a good time. Braden Fisk, can't forget about him. This guy's rising up draft boards, looking like he may go late round one or round two. Super athletic defensive tackle. If you haven't heard these interviews, we like to get into these guys below the surface. We start off with the lightning rounds. So you can get to know them as people. And then we'd like to figure out what makes them tick in addition to how they'd fit with the Pack, you know, kind of learn about some of these guys the Pack maybe zeroing in on. I'm excited to talk more draft. I'm excited to talk more free agency. Thank you for having me. Let's have a great show.
Jordan Love, 2020. That was, Cage, that was over 4 drafts ago. And then you had Eric Stokes, 2021, as the first round pick. And so where I want to start today is Eric Stokes was that 2020 first round pick for the Packers, and the Packers currently need a cornerback. That's an obvious team need, whether it's in-house, out-of-house. And I want to ask the question to you first. Do you look towards a guy in free agency, say maybe a Xavien Howard, into plugging that hole, or are you looking to the top of this draft? What direction would you make the move on in the cornerback market?
You know, man, I think a lot of teams are kind of making the free agents sweat right now. Like you mentioned a name, Xavien Howard. I know there's a guy like Stephon Gilmore still out there, I believe. There's definitely some talent out there, but this is draft month. And I think a lot of these GMs are going to plug their holes in the draft, see where the chips fall there, and then go back to the free agency pool and just get these ultimate buy low deals, right? Justin Simmons is still out there. You know, the Pack have a need at safety. We plugged one of those big holes with Xavier McKinney. But the safety position in the draft is one of the most atrocious positions. There's literally like nothing out there besides scraps. The guys that we thought might have been, you know, a second round pick guys like Tyler Newbin, Cameron Kitchens. They ended up testing very, very unathletically. So there's really, you know, slim pickings there. Jaden Hicks out of Washington State's one to keep an eye on. I know Bullard, I think his name is Javon Bullard out of Georgia, is a little faster. But Georgia's always got guys. It's very hard to see what the Packers are going to do there. We do need another one. Maybe they're just going to make these guys like Rudy Ford or you know, someone sweat and then buy him up on the cheap. Justin Simmons, you never know. But I do think the drafts are going to get plugged first. And going back to your question, like, do you go out and sign Xavier Howard? Do you go out and draft the guy? I think you do the draft. And I don't think Goode's going to sign another guy before the draft unless it's like a very, very, very team-friendly deal. And Xavier Howard probably doesn't want that. I would love to see him get on the Packers. You know, come win a ring here, Xavier. Come make your interceptions here. Come up, line up again, opposite of Jaire Alexander. Teach the young guys a few tricks. Make some decent money. Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot to like about Green Bay. You know, grow your game, grow your fandom. You know, like, there's so much to like about this squad. Take a shot at winning the whole thing and see what that does for your overall happiness, right? He's a guy in particular I'd like to see. I know some of the other guys have asterisks, like Stephon Gilmore. He is coming off some injuries, but there's no question that that guy's had an incredible career. And if you bring him in on a one-year deal, could he ball again for the Pack? I think he probably could if the chips fall as they may. But I don't think that Goode is going to be signing these guys prior to the draft. I think he's going to look to see who falls him in the first. We've got 2 seconds. We've got 2/3. It's a very, very, very deep cornerback class in the draft as opposed to the safety, right? So the safety might be slim pickings in terms of that position, but the cornerback position is very deep. So I think Goode's going to maybe draft like at least one guy in the top three picks. I'd be shocked if he doesn't draft a cornerback in the first or second round. At that point, you can kind of like plug in maybe like a Gilmore, maybe a Xavier Howard, and just have turn that cornerback position from maybe a position of relative weakness or thinness to a position of thickness and strength. Man, what do you think?
Oof, I love the fact that you mentioned, hey, Xavier Howard, come win a Super Bowl in Green Bay, because the Miami Dolphins, they're a pretender of late. And I actually believed in them a little bit with this Tyreek offense to start the year. But at the end of the day, who am I kidding?
They're not a cool as
their
team.
Quarterback. They're not made for this. And either maybe are some of the players, like a Xavier Howard Cage. Thought that was a good point. So I'm looking actually towards the draft. I don't see it as a huge glaring team need when I break down the Keyshawn Nixon re-signing, right? He's going to get time at cornerback. You have Jaire Alexander kind of the leader there. Don't forget the young guys, right? Carrington Valentine and Anthony Johnson, who came in at the safety position. They're going to be trying to earn more time, yep, more jobs. And then Eric Stokes, the man that I mentioned at the start of the show, he's also truly on bust alert or bust
watch.
Yeah, he is.
Whatever, he is on bust watch. Yeah.
Whatever you want to put him as, he's on bust watch, because other guys in that same draft class, such as TJ Slayton, Josh Myers, Royce Newman, Isaiah McDuffie's even looking like he might be a better pick than Stokes at this point. I mean, that is crazy. And so that makes me very worried about drafting another first-round cornerback. I would much rather go with, say, maybe even two guys. Say you take a DJ James in the third, and then maybe the best CB that falls to you with that top pick in the second, and you just go first round, let's get someone else in the trenches, let's get another pass rusher, or let's get the X factor Xavier Worthy, KJ. I just have a little bit of scarringness from the Demarius Randall, you know, Eric Stokes picks. How do you feel about really the hit rate of the cornerback position?
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because what is Eric Stokes' Achilles heel, Ben? We heard it from Joe Schobert on the Ike Badgers podcast years ago. This guy was a Pro Bowl linebacker at one point in the NFL, also Wisconsin Badger. But he said you got to be accountable and you got to be available. And I would argue Eric Stokes has been neither. But if you look at back to when he was actually on the field, and Eric Stokes, I think he's posted way too much online for someone who like hasn't done anything in years, plural. I think he's doing way too much of that, and he might find himself out of a job and, you know, facing some severe financial difficulties, you know, given his lifestyle, if he doesn't get his you-know-what together. But when he's on the field, this guy could play. You know, I think that was obvious. Like, he had ability, and do you know why he could play, Packers fans? Because when they would whip it up, you know what this guy had? He had recovery speed. And for that reason, Alex, You're right, man. Cornerback is probably the most difficult position to play in football, except for maybe quarterback, except for maybe like a tight end position. It's probably the number one most difficult position on defense to play. But if you're going to draft a cornerback like Green Bay and you want to actually get some impact out of him, what do you have to have? You have to have a strong pass rush, but you've got to maybe target a guy like Nate Wiggins, who's got a 4.28 speed, and maybe a guy like DJ James, who can run, you know, 4.3s, low 4.4s. So if they do whip it up and these guys might get shook a little bit, they can go and recover just like Eric Stokes was able to do his rookie year. I really think that's the key here. I mean, Ennis Rakestraw Jr., he was really good in run support. He's probably the best tackling corner in this draft. I know it's very endearing quality to a lot of Packers fans, just seeing the tackling become atrocious at certain points. He improved his 40 time from a 4.5 something at the combine to a 4.44. Brian Gutekunst was in attendance at his pro day when he did run that 4.44. I would love to look at him, but if you're gonna like look at what works and what doesn't, you know, speed definitely helps you recover, right? And like Nate Wiggins has no issue with speed. You can't fake a 4.28. You know what I'm saying? Just like you can't fake the 4.22 or the 4.21, whatever Xavier Worthy ran at Texas. I would like to target one of the fastest guys in this draft, right? Like, because I don't know. I mean, just
Raider
like,
method.
Either that or just go for the trenches, right? Go for the offensive line. Go for the defensive line. Go for the pass rush. But if you're going to be targeting a skilled position player, don't be targeting a slow one, in my opinion. Any thoughts on that, Alex?
I was shocked, Packers fans, because KJ put out a poll about the ideal running back speed, and only 19 said the ideal speed should be 4.2 to 4.39. Or actually 38% said that. 59.8% said the ideal speed for running back should be 4.4 to 4.59. I was like, no way.
Basically, you're saying 90+% of people, 90+% of people think you can't run a 4.6. That's kind of another takeaway.
98% like, think you can't run a 4.6.
Oh,
so
man.
If you run a 4.6, there's the drop off point. But I was still shocked about that 4.4. Like, you want guys in the 4.3s or as close to the 4.2s as you can get.
I mean, yeah, it's just something you can't teach. And Alex, maybe in a sec we can go a little deeper into some more of that data. I know Packers fans love just data because it is what it is, right? It's not like it's very subjective. It just is what it is. But I was curious, like, where A.J. Dillon ran after seeing just the huge spread. And A.J. Dillon ran actually like a 4.53 at the combine, which is like mind-blowing to me because he just seems so slow. And I like the guy. I've met him. He's a very nice guy. I'm happy the Pack got him back on like a very, very, very team-friendly, favorable deal. It's actually only like $150,000 guaranteed. So if this guy comes and stinks up during training camp, the Pack are going to get another running back and just swap out the body. And then Derrick Henry and the other known power back in the league, right? Because a lot of people are looking at Braylon Allen. Where is he going to fall? Derrick Henry ran a 4.54. Braylon Allen, it's very intriguing why he didn't choose to run the 40. To me, you wouldn't not run the 40 when everyone else is running the 40. I mean, dude, even Michael Penix Jr. ran like a 4.56. You know, he's shooting
up
draft board.
Even Brady ran.
Dude, everyone runs, man. It's just something you do. Like,
I know, Javion like, Cohen, you heard him. Like, everyone's looking forward to that in a weird way. It's strange that you wouldn't be looking forward to the run to the 40.
Why would you not? Then you have to ask yourself, why would you not? I think I know why.
Elephant in the room.
What's the elephant in the room? Would he be slower than a 4.6? Odds are against you at that point. But
both
hey,
got
never
caught
say,
by the wolf speed.
never say never. There is an old adage saying you don't have to be able to outrun a bear. You just have to be able to outrun the slowest guy. And it doesn't necessarily translate to the football field. You know, you kind of got to be able to outrun guys.
Well, speaking of just, you know, basic things, you kind of mentioned how Eric Rakestraw is a good tackler cornerback.
Ennis Rakestraw, yeah.
Ennis Rakestraw Jr. And it made me think about how the Packers truly are going to need someone to fill up the tackles. Like, we're moving on from a lot of guys
right,
who
Devondre
brought
Campbell.
In tackles. Yeah. Devondre Campbell got tackles. Whether he was on the field or not, he still at least was making some of those stops, Cage, which was thin
you're right,
on
you're
the
right.
overall side, right? We should be getting maybe two guys there. Like, how are we going to get better at stopping guys if we don't get another man in the trenches to make tackles and another linebacker who likes to eat tackles and maybe another safety to eat tackles?
Big points. I mean, we had Justin Simmons quote Night Packers tweets. You can kind of get an inkling he might be open to playing in Green Bay. And, Alex, before we read some more of these data points off from the polls I put out last week, if you're able to pull up Edgerrin Cooper's 40 time, I just want to talk about Peyton Wilson and Edgerrin Cooper real quick. Peyton Wilson, the consensus top two linebacker from NC State, a lot of people think Edgerrin Cooper is probably the best linebacker, but Peyton Wilson's a close second. Maybe a Junior Colson from Michigan's also in that conversation. But Peyton Wilson can run. I'm pretty sure he runs in the 4.4s, and he plays for a school that's kind of like under
four,
the radar.
4.43.
Okay, so Edgerrin Cooper, 4.43, flying around.
No. Edgerrin Cooper was 4.51. Peyton Wilson was 4.43.
So that's fast and fast enough, right? Like, I think Quay was somewhere like the 4.42 or something. I could be wrong on that, but I don't know where Quay was, but he's a monster. The thing I noticed
4.52.
Okay, the thing I noticed when Isaiah McDuffie was on the field next to, like, a Quay or next to, like, a Devondre Campbell is this dude's, like, a mini-me. You know, like, I wasn't a huge fan of Devondre Campbell's, like, last two seasons, but to his credit, he was, like, a giant compared to Isaiah McDuffie. At the end of the day, you got to bring down a guy like Derrick Henry. You know, you got to bring down some talented guys, whether it's these receivers. We need to draft a linebacker. Draft a linebacker. I was hoping we might get like a Van Ginkle, but he went to Minnesota. Yeah, go ahead, Alex.
I was just going to say, it's almost like you're watching college basketball, which maybe some of you did over the weekend and saw these monsters who are unstoppable at the college level. But if you have a small guy at the pro level, it's like, it's so obvious, Cage. You mentioned him as Isaiah McDuffie. You're like, yeah. Bro on the wrong field?
Yeah, like, no, like, but yeah, like, those two linebackers, and Alex, what else does the data points say? And then there's a Junior Colson who did it for Michigan. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, a lot of people value the most, besides the 40-yard dash in interviews, what is the most important pre-draft evaluation metric? And 70%, KJ, said the shuttle three-cone agility.
Agility.
Things like the vertical leap, the broad jump, and the bench reps. Agility playing into the game. Does that not make you think Xavier Worthy is going top 20 for sure? I mean, is he off the board by 25? And
if he's not, I'll be genuinely surprised, simply because all these top combine guys always seem to rise. But Xavier Worthy's not just like, you know, when DK Metcalf was coming out, he was like the biggest dude ever to run in the 4.3s. Everyone was like, oh, you can only run in a straight line. And yes, he's got maybe some, you know, issues where he's not just like the best guy in the locker room, whatever.
Unstoppable in a straight line, though.
But it's like, like very physically imposing receiver, right? Very physically talented guy. Xavier Worthy can like juke guys out of their shoes in the routes, too. And so that's what makes him kind of so dangerous, potentially, if you gave him to Jordan Love.
To make Jaden Reed dangerous, right?
It also makes Jaden Reed dangerous. But like you said, I would love to see those guys line up and race. You know, and it doesn't mean you can't give Jaden Reed, you know, 80 targets while still having a Xavier Worthy. You're dumping to 50, 60 targets, right? I don't think he's going to last till pick 25, but if he does, you have a serious choice to make. Do you go for a guy in the trenches? You know, do you go for like a Byron Murphy out of Texas or whatever? Do you go for like a Braden Fisk, the super agile guy who did obliterate that three-cone drill? Agility plays. You know, it really does. I wasn't too shocked about that one because, like, okay, vertical leap, you got to be able to jump up. That's a given, but it's almost like, how translatable is that? Only on jump balls,
some
really.
Positions, yeah.
Every single position's got to be agile in the NFL. You just have to do it. We've all seen the guys get juked out of their shoes. I don't know if anyone's seen Bijan Robinson go, like, left to right foot, left to right foot, left to right foot, left to right foot, and just, like, fly the defender past him and then just, like, scoots past him. It was pretty impressive. But if you can make a guy miss in the NFL, you'll do
that.
Well. Yeah. I mean, like, Christian McCaffrey, right? He's
yeah.
athletic. But he's also agile. You know, he's not like the Chris Johnson speed. He's also got that agility. Aaron Jones, right? He didn't necessarily have the straight line speed, but he had that agility. You've got to get the agility. I'm interested to see what Josh Jacobs does this year. One other point is the new kickoffs with Keyshawn Nixon. We're talking a little bit of cornerback, but what about the kick return? I almost think, Alex, that Keyshawn Nixon's going to be helped by this simply because
so
of how agile
change,
he
fans.
Is.
Yeah, this rule think? Change has kind of changed it where now they're going to avoid trying to kick touchbacks, and the kickers are really not going to have their full, you know, squad running with them at the start of it. They're going to be much forward towards the opponent's end zone, and once the ball is caught, that's when they can make a break on the football. And I don't know if this favors Keyshawn Nixon, and here's my point. I think this favors other guys who are a little more, like, by-the-book skilled than Keyshawn. Keyshawn is one of these guys who plays well in the chaos of original kickoff return style. But this new type of, you know, short yardage game is going to become schemed, where then you're going to also have guys back there who are super good to the scheme, maybe a little quicker because it's harder to break the big one because everyone's in good formation because they only have to run 20 yards, Cage. So that's kind of my, you know, fear is that maybe it'll, you know, kind of get rid of a little of that vision aspect that was so important and just the sheer no fear you needed to be OG kick returner.
Well, I have another point. Packers fans, you might have to, you know, turn back the clock a little bit, but how many of you remember back in the day in Madden when you had not one kick returner, but you had two kick returners? Or maybe that was NCAA football, where if they kicked it to the left side, this guy returns. They kick it to the right side, this guy returns. Well, in the NFL these days, you really only have one kick returner. It's either in the end zone out the end zone for a touchback, or they give it to a guy like Keyshawn or Devin Hester, something along those lines. I think that this new kickoff rule, like Alex said, could end up being a guy, you know, more aimed kickoffs, right? Like maybe they kick it short, you know, maybe it's like onside kicks become like very much increased. It's certainly going to add a new development to the game. Like, you know what I'm saying, man, how they like pop up the ball on onside kicks. What's stopping these guys from kicking the ball like 10, 20 yards?
If you have to wait for it to get down already, right? Like nothing. They're going to gamify this. That's why I didn't want to see it happen personally.
Yeah, that is interesting. We're going to have to see on this. I don't know if they can put Pandora back in the box on this one. You know, it's already out the box.
It's hard to go from less violence to more violence.
Exactly.
Even though I'm going to miss the big hits and the big returns, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I remember when guys would just get clotheslined. Like, maybe you saw the movie Invincible with Mark Wahlberg. Vince Papale trying out for the Eagles back in the day. And they threw him on special teams. And they would kind of, like, you know, just, like, show you the intensity of a kickoff return. And Vince Papale would just get leveled, like, where he didn't know where he was. I fear that we may no longer see that.
We need that. I mean, that's special teams is when guys make careers in the NFL.
It's the margins, bro.
It's truly you're drafted into the football. It's almost like the war. You're going to the front lines. You're going to special teams, my man. Get out there.
The Vanguard. You're throwing Tyrion Lannister in the Vanguard.
You go right to the special teams where you're running at full speed. And I think that's why if you made a play or you just saw so much effort, like, it was such a special thing, so I hope none of that gets taken away.
The whole living room got on their feet, man. The whole stadium would get on their feet.
That's what I'm saying.
When Keyshawn Nixon brought that ball back, like, to, like, the 20 opposing teams, like, 25, like, the 49ers
life-changing.
Everybody was having a heart attack. Exactly. Like, he didn't even breathe for, like, the last minute or whatever. It's going to be exciting. I hope there's just as much excitement, if not more, than there was. I'm going to hold out hope. I'm going to look at it optimistically. Speaking of special teams, though, I believe his name is Greg Joseph. Anders Carlson somehow, some way, kept his job after missing all those kicks. I think he missed, like, a kick in the final 8 or 9 games. And that's, like, you know how, like, when you might be at work, Packers fans, you maybe, like, have, like, a couple typos in the report or, like, you know, bad misspelling in the email or something. Like, it's okay if it happens, like, once or twice. I mean, ideally only one, like, never, but, like, maybe it happens once. You're like, shnikes, I better be on my A game, sharpen up a little bit. It's like this guy just, like, does this for, like, 8 reports, 9 reports in a row, and no one says anything, you know? But, well, finally the Packers are like, you know what, we're gonna bring in some competition for you. Greg Joseph, I believe his name is, signed from the Vikings. He's been around, but he was from the Vikings, and, I mean, this guy's automatic within 40, which is what you have to be. He gets significantly less accurate, 40 yards to 50 yards, 50 yards to 60 yards, as you probably normally would. But, man, I mean, Anders Carlson, he may still be the guy. Like, I'm not saying he's not the guy. I hold out hope that he might be able to figure this thing out. But you had to sharpen up. I think that's my main takeaway. And this competition should hopefully make him train harder. It's like, picture, you know, like talking about a Xavien Howard, right, Packers fans, or an Eric Stokes, right? For every Eric Stokes making first-round money, you know, $4.5 million, $5.5 million a year, there's a kicker out there making, like, $250K. You know, you get, like, X amount taken out via taxes. Like, if you get caught, then you're going on really hard times because you're like, shnikes, I'm going to have to earn a living the way normal people do. And I think this ought to put the fear of God into Anders Carlson to, like, train his hardest and just sharpen up so he doesn't cost the Packers points and cost the Packers games inadvertently.
Thoughts, Alex? It's just so true. It just made me think of Kurt Warner, who I think went undrafted and then ended up making the Super Bowl. So I'm not totally familiar, but I think a movie's coming out on Kurt Warner's story.
I think it did. But, I think it already
but,
did.
You know, a lot of kickers are like that, right? It's just like, here's my take on Anders Carlson. He missed 13 kicks last year, and we decided to make the change after the season, after he blew the chance. It's like the Packers are a little late on recognizing that maybe we should have another guy in there. Like, yeah, we should have had two guys probably for a while. And that's just a straight-up truth.
You're right.
Happy to see someone come in now. Cage, I think it's a perfect chance to hop over to a mock draft.
Ooh,
just picking with the Packers.
Let's
quick,
do it.
And we can just quick hit this Packers fan. So
Packers fans always love
Packers
mock
at draft. 25.
Let's
going to start the draft.
Let's do a mock draft, Packers fans. Let's do one together. All right. How's it shaking out so far, Al?
Okay. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Marvin Harrison Jr., Joe Alt, J.J. McCarthy, 6 to the Giants, Malik Nabers, 7 to the Titans, Dallas Turner, Fuaga from Oregon State, the tackle, going 9 to the Bears. Roma Dunsey going 10 to the Jets. Brock
Rogers.
Bowers at 11 to the Vikings. No way. Jared Verse, 12 to the Broncos. Quinyon Mitchell, 13 to the Raiders. Fashanu, 14 to the Saints. Troy Fatanu, tackle, Washington, going to the Colts. Tyrion Arnold going 16 to the Seahawks. Amarius Mims, tackle, Georgia, going 17. It's got linemen jumping up the board, Cage. Graham Barton, 18 to
they
the
always
Bengals.
Do.
Latu, 19 to the Rams. J.C. Latham, tackle for Bama, going 20 to the Steelers. Brian Thomas Jr., LSU, 21. Nate
He's my
Wiggins,
sleeper in the draft. He can
off
ball.
Off the board to the Eagles. Byron Murphy goes to the Vikings at 23. Tyler Guyton, tackle, goes 24 to the Cowboys, which leaves Jerzon Newton on the board, Cooper DeJean on the board, Kool-Aid McKinstry on the board, Tyler Newbin on the board,
Peyton Wilson,
Bo Nix still on the board.
See, he's going to be drafted, in my opinion, by that.
Chop Robinson still on the board.
Ooh.
Ennis Rakestraw Jr. still on the board. I mean, Cage,
ooh,
we have a plethora of picks. Just as we say, Packers fans, this is going to be a great spot to let someone fall into your lap.
Yeah.
Jackson Powers Johnson, the center from Oregon, also on the board.
I'm hearing that he's slipping, actually. Personally, I'm hearing that he's slipping a bit. Like, not like he's a bad player, but I'm hearing that just, you know, teams are maybe viewing him a little more in the second round than the first, has been widely reported. I think, like Alex said, to me, the board, and Alex, maybe if I'm missing a few names, like, I know Edrin Cooper sounds like he's still available, but
yep,
it sounds to me like there's, like, a Jerzon Newton, a Chop Robinson, an Ennis Rakestraw Jr.,
Kool-Aid,
a Cooper DeJean. I think
Cooper.
Kool-Aid's hurt, though, so I think he's going to slip to the second. Like, they just discovered an injury for him, so usually that doesn't bode well unless you're like a super stud. Cooper DeJean hasn't even been able to work out, so like
Xavier Worthy's, you know, still on the board.
The speedster.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how.
So it's like, so you got Xavier Worthy, Ennis Rakestraw Jr., Jerzon Newton, Chop Robinson, Cooper DeJean, Ennis. And am I forgetting it? I think Braden Fisk is on the board. I mean,
he's on the board.
Who would you say is like the most sure thing, right? Because Cooper DeJean.
I would take Jerzon Newton.
He's
I
got the injury asterisks. Is Cooper DeJean.
I would live
Chop
and die
Robinson
with passing on DeJean. Oh, Robinson was my number one, but just based on this board, he's like projected to go much lower in the PFF simulator.
PFF,
so
they're not always accurate.
Yeah, Robinson.
Chop Robinson reminds me of Nolan Smith last year, who did not do much with the Eagles. Remember Nolan Smith, Packers fans?
Yeah.
Came out and ran like some in the 4.3s as like the fastest
really
pass rusher.
Though.
and he was out of Georgia. He's out of big school. And then, you know, Eagles draft him. He shoots up draft boards. And sure enough, he, you know, he went in the first, but he didn't really do anything. I think he had, like, one sack. So for that reason, I'm a little wary of Chop Robinson. But you said his tape looked really good, Alex. Jerzon Newton is the most sure bet there. You know, Packers are apparently trying to get to Kenny Clark for an extension. Cooper DeJean, if this guy wasn't hurt, I think would be the easiest pick all day. Ennis Strakestraw Jr. is very, very enticing. I think Jerzon Newton is probably the pick at that point.
Me too.
You don't take Xavier Worthy, I think, you know, just for a need, like, go for the D-line, win the trenches.
We'll take Jerzon Newton here.
Jerzon Newton to the Green Bay Packers. Packers fans are hyped, and Packers fans are super pissed because they didn't draft DeJean. You know something's going to piss off Packers fans, but hey, we love them all. Let's keep reading how the board's shaking out.
Oh, bro. Does one round?
I guess we got one round, but
Jerzon Newton was the pick, Packers fans.
Well, you know, we'll make sure to put out some more mock draft content for you, Packers fans. But like Alex said, the takeaway is we're in a power position. There should be five or six guys. And you know what that means? That means the Pack could even trade down, Alex, right? Like, what if you traded down? What if you traded down, like, five or six slots and you picked up another second? So you got, like, 3 seconds and you picked up an Edrin Cooper in the second round. You picked up an Ennis Rakestraw in the second round. And I'm talking, like, maybe, like, the early 30s to 40s. And then you picked up a Braden Fist. Like, if you could have three of those guys, Edrin, Rakestraw, you know, maybe even Cooper DeJean falls because of the injury. I think Cooper could end up going in, like, the teens. Or he might fall all the way to the second. He seems to have a very wide range. It depends how the medicals check out. You know, it's not like it's been like an Achilles injury. It's kind of like he broke his leg. Theoretically, that should come back stronger. I just call it what it is. It's a big, significant injury. And you only have one of these first-round picks, right? So it's like, I don't know, man. Any thoughts on maybe just...
There are a lot of cornerbacks on the board, which is why I ended up leaning towards Newton.
Yeah.
Is you get him at their first... And that's why I wouldn't want to trade down. Look, even if you take Chop Robinson, it's like you won't get him in the second.
And maybe you're not.
That's a hot take, but I feel like a lot of these pass rushers, and you saw the offensive linemen move up the board. The big boys are going to go. And... second, third round, I see a ton of options there in the receiver market if you want to add there, cornerback if you want to add there, and just linebackers, Cage, some positions the Packers maybe need. And so first pick, I'm sitting, and here's the thing that I was thinking about is if you're the GM and you need to sell it to your fan base, the pick, it's not like the Packers really have this pressure, but sometimes they do. Cooper DeJean is easily the safest pick. Because
Packers
you're like,
fans seem to want him most. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Cooper DeJean. Here you go. Like safety corner. I don't really care. You know, like go out there and ball for me.
That's
but
not
if you
good
could
style.
Nail Cooper, though, I know.
That's
at
not
that
good
first
style.
Pick the Packers have at 41, I believe it is.
Oh.
Then
Cooper or Cooper DeJean?
DeJean.
Okay.
Not that I think he could be available that long, but you never know. You never
if
know.
If he is, you run that up to the podium.
Yeah.
Run it up at that point.
Well, you like, I want a star there at 41, too.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I want as well, Packers fans. I think the value at 25 is almost darn near similar at 41.
It's very similar range. You're right about that, Alex. I mean, I think you make a great point. Wide receiver, cornerback, get him in the third. Get the defensive lineman and the offensive lineman at
before
pick
gone.
At pick, 25 and pick 41. You know, then go and draft your... There's so much cornerback depth. There's so much receiver depth. But there's not a ton of OL... Or, you know, the OL are going to rise, like Alex said, before the Packers kind of get to pick 25. I think a lot of these guys are going to be gone. I do think... How many quarterbacks do you think are going in the first, Alex? I think there's probably going to be, like, six. I think Penix Jr., after his pro day, is getting in the first.
I think
Bo Nix is going in the first. Yeah, so there's six quarterbacks taken before the Packers pick at 41. You know what? They might even be taken before the Packers pick at 25. So that's almost like the Packers have their choice of, like, the 19th best, the 18th, 19th best skill position player. And that's really, really exciting. It's a power position to be in. You know, it doesn't really seem to be a whole lot of
and all the receivers, too, Cage. Not like the Packers need a receiver at all. And so those positions as well. It's like you're getting one of the top maybe eight or nine guys non-receiver and quarterback, which the Packers are locked on. So, sitting pretty. Any final thoughts for the listeners today?
You know, man, we're so close. We're so close. Let's go and make a splash. Let's grab a Justin Simmons. Let's not even mess around at the safety position in this draft. Let's grab a Justin Simmons. Maybe take a guy in the middle rounds, like a Jaden Hicks, if you can get to him, whatever his name is, out of Washington State. You know, I think he's my guy. He's like a big, burly safety that could be like a Cam Chancellor type. I know Packers fans, you know, some might be like, oh, you want the center fielder type. Well, we already got the center fielder type in Xavier McKinney. Let's draft the guy who could go and punish people, maybe be one of those hybrid linebacker safety type guys. That's kind of what he is. You know, maybe splash some cash, buy low on a free agent. Let's really nail this draft. Let's nail this draft. Let's not blow this draft like Goop may have done with a lot of the picks in 2021. That's my final thoughts. What about you, Alex?
I think we're sitting pretty, Packers fans, but more than anything, this is a year to go for it. This is one of those years where, okay, we're losing the Bakhtiari money next year, I believe.
Yeah, we got a bunch on the books.
We've got Jordan Love young still, so it's not like do or die, like have to win now, but this is a year to go for it and catch people by surprise while you still can before Love gets paid, and then it is no more surprise and you got holes everywhere on your roster. Let's go out there, draft some ballers, and see what they can do. Add it to this roster. I love what I'm seeing out of the boys working in the offseason. Dontavian Wicks, Jaden Reed. I mean, these videos, they're locked in, Cage. Super Bowl mindset. That's where we are, Packers fans. If you like today's show, please text it to another Packers fan. That's the number one way to help us grow. Leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify also help the show. We appreciate each and every one of you in the 100-plus countries listening, and we'll be back next week. As always, Go Pack Go.
Check out those draft interviews, Packers fans. Go Pack Go.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Ike Packers Podcast and want to help the show, please subscribe, tell a friend, and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. This is how we can continue to give great value to you. As always, till next time, Packers fans, Go Pack Go. Let's go to the coast tonight. Find me on my coast tonight.